月前动了个脚的手术啊，恢复的不错，感谢主。
Thank God, I just had a surgery a month ago, and I'm recovering well.
只是行动稍微缓慢了一点。
But though I'm still moving slow.
不影响说话。
But it doesn't affect speech.
好，那么我们现在来看，上次我来分享的时候是七月一号。
The last time I preached here was July the 1st.
那么一转眼四个月过去了。
And 4 months has passed since then.
也许还记得。2018年刚开始的时候啊
，You might still recall the beginning of 2018.
现在十一月了
，And now we are in November.
只剩两个月
，And we have only 2 months left.
这两个月通常大家的心比较浮动。
Usually we have a very agitated heart in these 2 months.
因为是美国的假期月。
Because it's the holiday season.
十一月感恩节。
We have Thanksgiving in November.
十二月圣诞节。
And Christmas in December.
那这两个传统大节期
，and during this holiday season,
都是基督教信仰所产生的。
Actually originate from the tradition of Christianity.
我今天分享的主题就是感恩。
So today I'm going to share about Thanksgiving.
讲题是感恩复兴。
And the title is Thanksgiving and Revival.
那么基督徒会感恩。
Christians tend to give thanks.
能够有灵命的复兴。
And this lead to a inner revival.
也可以带动教会的复兴。
Which will eventually lead to the revival of the church.
分享的经文是我们刚才已经读的哈该书啊，全章十五节。
And the scripture today is from Haggai chapter 1.
那么圣经旧约圣经啊，那么有十二卷篇幅比较短的先知书。
In the Old Testament, we have 12. Relatively short books of prophets.
因为篇幅短，所以他们被称为小先知书。
That's why they are called 12 minor prophets.
那么在基督教的圣经中，它被排在旧约全书中那个最后。
And in the Old Testament, they put it at the end of the whole book.
从何西阿一直到马拉基。
From the book of Hosea to Malachi.
那么其中有两卷呢，在被教会讲台当做信息的时候呢。就比较和钱有关系。
And two of them are usually used to preach about money.
一个是马拉基书。
One in the book of Malachi.
你一听到讲马拉基书，你就想说，难道又来讲十一奉献了吗
？As soon as I mention this, you might think about teachings on tithing.
那另一个就是哈该书。
And the other book is the book of Haggai.
那么通常是用来鼓励弟兄姐妹奉献支持教会建堂。
It is often used to encourage offerings for the building fund.
那么有一位已经回天家颇有名气的华人传道人。
So there is a well-known minister who has already returned home in heaven.
那么有一次大家在千向教会分享的时候，有说了这个话。
Once he shared this in the Church of Thousand Oaks.
在教会讲台上谈钱是很敏感的。
It is very sensitive to talk about money. In the church.
那么原来讲道的过程的气氛还挺和谐的。
So the atmosphere is usually quite harmonious.
那么一提到奉献
，until we mention，
就发现呢会众开始有些人提高警觉了。
Until we mention offering and the congregation will suddenly turn alert.
而且还有目露凶光的。
And they will look cruel.
那么其实为建堂奉献呢是哈该书的延伸性质。
Actually, the teachings on building fund is actually an extended message from the book of Haggai.
主要的信息是在于属神的人和神的关系。
And I think the main message is about the relation between man and God.
其实他就要为帮助我们呢，更多的认识神，知道神的心意。
It aims to help us understand better God and His purpose.
那么大部分的人读旧约和新约啊，会对神呢产生很不一样的印象。
Many people may have very different impressions when they read the Old Testament and the New Testament.
那么甚至于呢，会觉得旧约和新约啊，根本不是在描述同一位神。
Some people might even feel that the Old Testament and New Testament are depicting a different God.
对，我们先来看一下这个在旧约啊的神的形象。
So typically, the God's image in the Old Testament is like this.
旧约先知书呢，给人的印象啊，那么他是神是高高在上， 有严厉的君王。
So the God in the books of prophets in the Old Testament appeared to be unapproachable and very harsh.
那么神只看犹太人是他的子民。
And they only consider the Jews his chosen people.
那么奖赏谨守法律立法者。
And he reward those who observe the laws.
那么惩罚触犯律法的人。
While punish the lawbreakers.
那这个律法呢，其实就是在摩西五经中所记载的各种古怪的规则还有条例。
Actually, laws here refer to all kinds of rules and regulations recorded in the Pentateuch.
那些奇怪的律法条例在今天啊，实在很难想象如何能够被遵守。
And it might be hard for us to imagine how can we observe perfectly the laws in the Old Testament.
然而，按照旧约圣经的教导呢
？But according to the teaching of the Old Testament.
谨守那些律法呢，是符合神心意的鉴定标准。
The observation of the laws is a standard of a measurement to see if something is pleasing to the Lord.
所以，只有谨守律法的犹太人会得啊。会得赏蒙福啊。
In that sense, only the Jews who strictly observe the laws can be blessed.
那么其他的人呢，都会遭罚受害，受祸啊。
And the rest will only suffer and be punished.
那这就很麻烦。
It caused a problem.
因为根据犹太某些犹太组织的统犹太人组织的统计啊。
So according to the statistics of some Jewish organizations.
那么今天全世界大概有1400万的犹太人。
Today we have about 14 million Jews around the world.
大概三分之二的这些犹太人认为自己是犹太教徒。
Only 2/3 of them identify themselves as Jewish believers of Judaism.
有三分之一的人他根本不觉得他自己是犹太，他承认犹太人，但是不是犹太教徒。
And 1/3 of them don't have faith in God.
然后呢？只有呢17%的人认为呢自己是所谓的正统犹太人。
But only 17% of them identify themselves as Orthodox Jews.
那这些正统的犹太人当然会要求自己很严谨的遵守犹太教的律法条例。
Of course, these 17% people think their observation is rather perfect.
但是我们也知道呢，理论归理论，生活中间还是会有些实际的问题。
But in reality,
他们呢对于律法条例的遵守呢，其实是会有选择性的。
Their observation of the laws is still selective.
特别是在吃的方面。
Especially in terms of food.
那我过去的同事中间就有相当传统的犹太人呢，很爱吃中国菜。
I used to have quite a lot of Jewish co-workers who love Chinese food.
他还说过犹太人之间的一个笑话。
And they tell this joke among the Jewish.
你如何知道你的新邻居是不是犹太人呢？
So how do you know if your neighbor is Jewish or not?
答案就是说看他是不是常常去上中国餐馆。
You can see if he goes a lot to the Chinese restaurants.
那么中国菜中间常见的这个猪肉跟虾，在犹太人律法中间呢是不洁净，是被禁止。
Actually, pork and prawns in the Chinese food are not considered clean according to the Jewish laws.
想想看，那时候犹太人挺可怜的啊。
Actually, they're not lucky.
即使呢，中国菜的鸡肉和牛肉呢，它这个食材的处理还有烹饪的方法呢，也不太可能符合犹太教的这些礼法吧。
Even chicken, beef are not unclean. The ways of cooking.Are not really kosher.
所以你算来算去啊，今天全世界大概有80亿的人呢、啊，恐怕只有不到300万的人有可能可以得赏蒙福。
So in that case, we have 8 billion people in the world, but fewer than 3 million people might deserve God's blessing.
而且只是有可能。
And it is only a possibility.
如果他哪一天嘴馋了，吃了一个什么一个龙虾的话，就麻烦。
If someone ate a crawfish someday, he might break the law.
不过呢，先知书中间有一卷书却是旧约中的例外。
But there is an exception among the 12 minor prophets.
就是我曾经在这边分享过的约拿书。
Which is the book of Jonah.
我们读约拿书的时候呢，感觉呢就比较舒服，也不会很惧怕。
We might not have so much fear when we read the book of Jonah.
因为呢，神对约拿就像一个叛逆青少年的慈爱父亲。
Because we see God treats Jonah as a loving father treats a rebellious son.
完全不担心，好像在皇帝面前讲错了一句话就完了。
And he's not afraid at all to say something wrong in front of the emperor.
而且呢，还拯救非犹太人，甚至于犹太人的敌人亚述人。
And we see that God even saves those who are not Jews, including the Assyrians.
这倒就很符合新约中间的耶稣基督的启示。
Which is in accordance with the God's image revealed in the New Testament.
那么耶稣基督的启示是神是所有人的父神。
In the New Testament, we see that God is the Heavenly Father for all.
And 他爱所有的人。
And he loves all.
他也给所有的人得救恩的机会。
And he makes the salvation available to all.
那我们要怎么去理解新旧约所显示出神形象如此大的落差呢？
So how should we deal with the different images of God in the Old and New Testament?
所以首先呢，圣经是很古老的著作。
So first of all, we should keep in mind that the Bible is an ancient book.
所以我们记住，我们虽然每天说要读圣经，但是我们每天在读的是非常古老的一本书。
Though the reading of Bible is necessary for Christians every day, we should be aware that it is an ancient book.
新约的文字资料呢，在耶稣的时候呢，就不断的出现。
So the text of the New Testament start to come into being since the time of Jesus.
那么一直到主后397年，在迦太基这个地方。
And in 397 AD in Carthage.
就是靠近今天这个北非叫做突尼斯的一场教会大会。
There was this synod in Tunis in North Africa.
确定了今天新约全书啊的阵地。
And there they define the biblical canon that we have today.
但是那是1600多年前的事情。
But still, that is 1600 years ago.
那么相对于中国的历史是大概在东晋的时期。
That kind of correspond to the Eastern Jing Dynasty in China.
所以你想看，你今天如果去读东晋时候的古书，你对它有多少概念
？So imagine how much you can get from by reading a book from the Eastern Jing Dynasty.
所以呢，研究古书必须先了解写作的背景。
So if you read an ancient book, you must be aware of its context.
那今天读新约的那个，即使参考的资料不少呢。那么对于很多的记载的背景还是不太能搞得清楚。
So today we may have a lot of books of references. Some context still remain unclear.
那么大旧约中间大部分的记载都是在新约之前大概有400年到1400年之久。
So the stories in the Old Testament are can be dated back to more to 400 years to 1400 years before.
那么时代越久远。参考资料也就越必然越少。
And the earlier they were written, the harder to find references.
那么对于写作背景的了解自然会更加困难。
And it is harder to understand the context.
那么还有一个需要考虑的因素是什么呢
？And another factor that we should take into account is
旧约书卷完成的时期的背景啊，会因为当时犹太人的需要，使得某方面的信息。会被特别的强调。
So the context of certain books in the Old Testament might put more emphasis on some aspects of the text than others.
根据犹太教的希伯来圣经学者的考证
，According to some Jewish Bible scholars，
先知书完成在犹太人从巴比伦回归之后。
The books of prophets were written before the return from exile in Babylon.
王国对于当时的犹太民族是一个很残酷的现实。
So the fall of Israel was a cruel fact for the Jewish people at that time.
于是他们面对的一个信仰危机。
So they were facing a crisis of faith.
特别是在巴比伦成长的那些新生代。
Especially for the second generation born raised in Babylon.
你说父母要坚定他们对神的信心呢，必须先回答一个问题。
If the parents intend to consolidate the faith of their children, they must answer one question.
那么为什么至高真神的子民会亡国在拜假神的外邦人手中
？So why the chosen people of the one true sovereign God were rendering to the hands of Gentiles who believe in idols.
所以呢，先知书的信息就偏重是以色列人的生活表现是如何违背了神的严格要求。
That's why the prophets lay particular stress on how the Jewish people break the laws and fail to meet the standard of God.
神还是那个至高的啊，大有能力的神。
God is still sovereign and almighty.
但是呢，是我们自己不好。
But it is the people who fail to meet His standard.
所以就是在强调以色列人因为如何如何的得罪了神，受到了亡国的惩罚。
So the books of prophets emphasize that the people of the God how they were punished by God.
那么，所以后世的读者就容易产生了旧约中间的神呢严厉，而且又容易被得罪的印象。
That's why the posterior readers have the impression that God appeared to be a harsh king and easy to offend in the books of prophets.
那我们刚读这个经文的时候，大概也会这样觉得。
That might be our impression too when we just read the book of Haggai.
那些从巴比伦回归耶路撒冷的犹太人啊，在重建圣殿的事情上面不合神的心意。
So the Jewish returned from exile in Babylon. They did not satisfy either the Lord on the matter of rebuilding the holy temple. That's why God let them suffer.
神的子民呢，所作所为要符合神的心意，才能得到神的喜爱蒙福啊，变成这个我们对于这个经文的感觉。
So the text seemed to be implying that God's people can only be blessed by God if they satisfy God's purpose.
要不然呢，你就会遭受一些灾难呐、啊，或者是承受一些什么横祸啊。
Otherwise, they will be punished.
但是这并不符合新约的启示，还有我们自己的经验。
But that does not match the revelation in the New Testament or our own experience.
应该没有基督徒认为自己是先合神的心意才得救。
No Christian should think that he has been saved because he was a man after God's heart in the first place.
事实上我们也知道信耶稣得救之后呢，也常常有不合神心意之处。
And we know that even after believing Jesus, many of our deeds do not please the Lord.
但是呢，我们还是一样有神的眷顾。
But still, we can count on God's providence.
所以当神的眷顾也包括管教了。
And his providence, of course, include discipline.
所以我们只要稍微反省一下，就会发现呢，没有人能够像神对我们的那种包容和有耐性。
And on a second thought, that we might even realize that few people in our lives are as tolerant and patient with us as God.
那我们要如何理解这个哈该书第一章呢？
So how should we understand the first chapter of the book of Haggai?
那么这个段经文是对于信仰生活的教导。应该是属于叫做论述文体。
This actually consists of a teaching on our spiritual life, and it's kind of an argument.
那么，对于一个论述啊，我们需要从写作的背景去了解写作的动机和目的。
So to understand an argument, we should first understand its motive and purpose.
我们要先看到这个经文对当事人的意思。
And we should see first what the text meant to the people at that time.
才能够比较看到对我们今天的意义。
And then we can see its significance to our days.
那么当时的背景可以从以斯拉记的开头看到一下。
We can see its background from the book of Ezra.
就讲到说波斯王古列如此说，耶和华天上的神已将天下万国赐给我。又嘱咐我在犹大的耶路撒冷为他建造殿宇啊，这是讲的。然后呢，我们看到了那个第三节呢，说什么呢？在你们中间凡做他子民的，就可以上犹大的耶路撒冷，在耶路撒冷重建耶和华以色列的殿，愿神与这人同在。那么波斯王古列啊，在灭了巴比伦帝国之后，就建立波斯帝国。第一年他就下了诏书。
So you can refer to the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, and we can see that after defeating Babylon's Cyrus, king of Persia, sent out an imperial decree in the first year.
那么他允许在巴比伦的犹太人回归故土，重建圣殿。
So the king decreed that he allowed all the Israel people in Babylon to return from exile to, and to rebuild the temple.
这个以斯拉记里面有讲，大概差不多有五万以色列人从巴比伦回归犹太地区了。
And according to the book of Ezra, we can see about 50,000 Jewish people returned from exile.
我们刚刚所读的经文的第一节就有一个名字叫做所罗巴伯。
So we see the name of Zerubbabel in the first verse of Book Haggai.
那么是带领归回的犹太人领袖。
So he was a Jewish leader who returned from Babylon.
后来他还继承了父亲，成为犹大的省长。
And later he succeeded his father and became the governor of Judah.
那这个所罗巴伯其实是两个希伯来字的组合。
So the name Zerubbabel is the combination of two words in Hebrew.
所罗是来自。
So Zerub means from.
巴伯原来是那个巴别塔的巴别，后来又是巴比伦。
So Babel from the word Babel Tower and also later refers to Babylon.
这个名字的意思就是生于巴比伦。
So his name means born in Babylon.
所以让我们看到回归的以色列人主要是在巴比伦成长的新生代。
So we can see that the Jewish who returned from exile were mainly the new generation that was born and raised in Babylon.
那么在以斯拉记的第一章有记载，圣殿重建工程开工的时候，以色列人是非常的兴奋。
And in the first chapter of Ezra, we can see that the Jewish people were very excited with the reconstruction of the temple when it came into operation.
但是很快又被鼓励之后的新上来的王下令停工了。
But the project was soon called off by the king after Cyrus.
那么过了十六年之后，神借着先知哈该要百姓恢复重建圣殿，但是在第二节指出什么？那个时候重建圣殿的热情。
And 16 years later, we see that the word of God came through the prophet Haggai, but as it is indicated in the second verse, the enthusiasm of the Jewish people to build the temple had been gone.
那么古列王下诏书的时候呢，以色列的在巴比伦的以色列人多半是生长在当地的第二或第三代。
So when Cyrus the king of Persia sent out the imperial decree, the Jewish people in Babylon was already the second or third generation after exile.
大部分的人已经脱离了奴隶的身份。
Most of them had already been freed from the status of slaves.
应该也有不少人建立了相当的家业，甚至于相当的富裕。
And many of them should be already well established and wealthy.
因为我们不要忘了，犹太人是很会做生意。
And we should remember that they are very good at doing business.
那么回归的五万人呢，其实是在巴比伦的以色列人中间的少数。
And actually, the 15,000 Jewish who returned was only a very small part of all the Jewish in Babylon.
而且大概不是特别家业特别大的。家大多半舍不得走。
And most of them are not super rich because those who have a lot of properties may not want to abandon Babylon.
他们应该是有心服侍神的犹太人，愿意回去建圣殿。
So these Jewish are quite devoted to return and rebuild the temple of God.
可是开工没有多久就被禁止了。
But before long, the project was called off.
那当然让他们很灰心失望。
Which was a great frustration to them.
那么他们这个侍奉的热忱也会冷淡下来。
And their zeal to serve was gone.
那么对于神还有信心的人就会质疑，难道重建圣殿是神的心意吗？
And those who still had faith in God might question that it is really God's intent to rebuild his temple.
那信心动摇的人的问题是什么？神真的能够掌管地上君王的心意吗？
And those who with a shaky faith might question that is God really sovereign and almighty?
荒废了十六年的工地里的那些建材都已经腐朽了。
And the materials in the deserted construction site had already been rotten. If we resume the construction right now, who knows that in a few days it might be cut off again.
And
then our effort would be in vain again. That's why there was this idea among the Jewish that the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built.
于是呢, 第四节, 神借着先知哈该, 就责备以色列人为了自己生活舒适, 找借口, 不顾神的殿荒凉。
That's why we see in Haggai 1, chapter 1, verse 4, that God reproached the Israel people for seeking their own comfort and finding excuses to delay the construction of the Holy Temple.
这里有个对比, 就是殿和房屋的原文是相同的, 希伯来字。
Actually, the word temple and house are from the same Greek word.
Hebrew.
Yeah.
意思是房屋, 也可以是家。
So house can also mean home.
所以从家的角度来看这个经文应该是你们的家有天花板, 却让神的家荒凉。
So this verse can be translated as the home of God is still a ruin while your home has panels.
所以呢,信息是不要只建造自己的家,也要建造神的家,因为那是你们共同的家。
So here God's message is that do not only build your own home but also God's home, for it is the home for you all.
然后呢,第五跟第七节, 其实是在讲同样的话, 你们要省察自己的行为。
And in verses 5 and 7, God reminded the Jewish people to give careful thoughts to their ways.
那么省察原来,就是希伯来文是两个字, 放在内心。
So give careful thoughts to in the original scripture consists of two words, which that is put and one's mind. The word behavior here is the translation of its extended meaning, which means the ways.
所以这个信息是好好想想自己的道路方向，因为你们越走离神越远了。
So here God is reminding his people to give careful thoughts to their ways because they were walking away further and further from God.
然后呢,第六节说,他们很努力改善生活,却总是什么,事半功倍。
And in verse 6, we see that the Jewish people work hard for a better living, but they only get half of the results.
那么少,撒的总多,收的少。
So they have planted much, but harvest little. It might be caused by a natural disaster.
From verse
9 through 11, we can see that the natural environment was against them. So it might be the discipline from God.
那么第八节的意思就是要奋力建造圣殿。
And in verse 8, God says the Jewish people should spare no effort building the temple to make God pleased and honored.
那么现代的人呢, 比较有个倾向,
so people in our age might think this way.
因为我们的思想已经比, 古代的人比较偏重理性。
Our mode of thinking might be more rational than people of that time.
从小也是一样,
and we usually seek an equation or formula when we study or work. Especially in Asia, our education is very exam oriented.
所以呢, 把东西摆进去,我就知道答案。
So we're very happy to have a formula that as long as we make an input, then we are promised to have an output. So we might think the same way as for faith. We might also tend to seek a formula to see God's response.
我这样这样这样, 神就会那样那样那样,
If I do A, God might give me B.
所以我们就很自然地从刚刚那个经文就会看到一个叫做人神关系的一个模式。
So some of you might see a formula in this about the mode of man and God relationship.
那么人如果怠慢神的事工的话呢，神就会不高兴，然后呢就会有惩罚。
You may think that if we ignore the service to God and which is not pleased by the God, and later we will be punished.
然后如果人很奋力神的事工，神就会很高兴，然后呢就会有奖赏。
And also you may think if you're diligent in serving God, which is pleasing God's eyes, then we will receive rewards from him. But this mode of thinking has its problems. So first of all, does God value more the work or the workers?
人必须要先奋力服侍神，才会被神眷顾吗？
Must a man serve the Lord diligently to earn his care?
有哪个基督徒敢说自己是先奋力服侍神才被神眷顾的？
So which Christian can dare to say that they receive God's providence because of their good behavior? The reality is the opposite.
是得到很多神的眷顾之后，知道应该感恩，才会奋力服侍神。
It is out of gratitude towards God's grace that we serve diligently our God.
然后第二个问题，荒凉的圣殿就会减少神的荣耀吗？
And the second question is, can a temple in ruin undermine the glory of God?
那么用俗话来讲就是说， 神会因为一个圣殿荒凉，他就觉得脸上无光。
So we can also put it this way, that may God lose face if his temple is in ruin?
如果重建圣殿能够让神喜乐，因为他得荣耀，然后呢，怠慢重建圣殿让神不高兴，是因为圣殿荒凉，让神觉得没有光彩。
So if the reconstruction of the temple can make God pleased and glorified, if the slight of service is pleasing to God because the ruins reduce his glory?
那么神如果真的这么在乎圣殿给他的光彩，那为什么要容许那个原来很宏伟的所罗门建那个圣殿被巴比伦毁了呢？
If the temple means so much to God's glory, why should God allow the splendid temple to be destroyed by the Babylonians in the first place? So let's look back at verse 8.
这是刚刚那个两个问题啊，就是这样啊。那么在第八节呢，我们就需要再注意刚刚那个第八节讲的有两个字，一个就是喜乐，一个是荣耀啊。So
in verse 8, I want to underline two words, that is pleasure and honored.
那么这里的荣耀不是指神的荣光。
Here, honor doesn't mean God's glory.
你在出埃及记中间呢，常常听到有神耶和华的荣耀，耶和华的荣光，啊，那些荣耀和荣光，原文是同一个字。So
in Exodus, we read many times the expression the glory of the Lord.
那是名词，which is
a noun.
但是这里的荣耀不是名词，是动词。But
here, what we have is a verb.
意思是被尊重,
which means to honor.
所以呢，英文的翻译呢就比较符合，希伯来文本。
So here the English translation is in accord with the original text in Hebrew.
所以呢，这句话的意思是啊，这句话的意思呢是。
So this sentence means
为圣殿上山取木材显示了很大的感恩动力，人知道感恩就能让神喜乐。
So getting timber from the mountains for the temple shows great motivation out of gratitude, which is really pleasing to God.
喜乐也有满意悦纳的意思。
So please here also means to satisfy.
神悦纳人向他感恩，因为他是父神。
God is satisfied by the thanksgiving of man because he is the heavenly father.
你想孩子如果知道感恩的话，哪个父母不喜乐？
And let's think, won't the parents be happy to see their children giving thanks?
So
So here God shows the image and mindset of a loving father.
其实啊，神在要求人为他做事之前呢，常常先给人恩典，让他更有条件侍奉他。
Actually, most of the time, God first gives us more grace before we serve Him.
这些以色列人刚回来的时候呢，犹大地呢已经荒凉了超过了半个世纪了。
So the land of Judah had been deserted for more than half a century before the Jewish return.
回来这些人也多半不是特别富裕的。
And those who returned were not especially rich.
天花板的房屋啊，就描述了当时那个生活条件有多困难。
So the paneled houses gave us a clue about how hard their life was at first.
显然他们刚开始是没有天花板的房屋可以住。
So at first they didn't even have panels to cover their house.
它的原意是有木板遮盖的房屋。
It means houses covered with wood panels.
那么在十几年前我去中国农村的时候呢，就住过，那时候还住过屋顶，它盖的是茅草铺草的房子。
So a dozen of years ago, when I visited the countryside of China, many houses were still covered with thatch.
那么下大雨，外面下大雨，里面当然是下小雨啊。
When there's heavy rain outside, it was drizzling inside.
而且那个墙呢，也不是整块的木板，是用木条拼起来的。
And the walls was not a one whole piece of wood, but several pieces of wood attached together.
通风不错，但是你可以想象冬天有多冷。
So it was good for ventilation, but it didn't keep the house warm.
这个生个火炉，有些人都觉得还不够。
So one stove might not be enough to keep it warm.
所以我们大概可以看到呢，他们刚回归的时候呢，那个生活条件有多差。
So we can see how hard life could be at the beginning of their return.
所以那个时候，如果要让他们呢，把全心全力投入圣殿的这个重建的话呢，是有实际的困难的。
So there might be realistic problems if they devote everything to rebuild the temple at the beginning of their return.
当然，圣经并没有明说神为什么容许圣殿的重建被禁止。
But of course, here the Bible didn't review specifically for what reason the project was cut off.
但是这个背景呢，可以帮助我们看到呢，很可能就是体谅当时这些百姓。
But it might show the consideration of God for His workers.
那圣殿的重建是需要大量的财力、物资，还有长期的努力。
And the building of the Holy Temple demands great amount of financial and human resources.
当时犹大地的这个生活条件太差了，所以神就让他们先能够休息休养生息啊。
So the living condition was really poor. In the land of Judah, so God allowed them to rest and rehabilitate.
然后有了稳定的生活，就能够更有效的服事。
So that they can serve better the Lord with a more stable life.
那么生活改善是件好事。
It is a good thing to improve their living conditions.
但是也有陷阱。
But there might also be a trap in this.
就是会不断地追求更舒适的生活。
Because the pursuit of a comfortable life is endless.
应该有听过这样一句话。
You might have heard of this.
没有最好，只有更好。
There's no best, but only better.
物质的追求是没有止境的。
The pursuit of material good is endless.
那么，为了要让他们回转，神就只能使得他们追求更多享受的努力呢，开始受到一些挫折。
So God frustrated their pursuit of comfort frustrating their efforts for a better living.
但是神仍然显示慈爱，并没有很严厉的把恩典全部收回。
But God was still gracious and did not withdraw all of His grace.
因为神大可以让他们的这些房屋财产通通毁于天灾人祸。
But because God could have taken everything from them by natural and man-made disasters.
什么水灾也好，地震也好，蝗灾也好，蝗虫。
Such as earthquakes, floods, etc.
其实呢，服侍神本身就是蒙福。
Actually, serving God is our blessing.
神常常是在服侍的过程中间被建，神的儿女常常是在服侍的过程中被建立成长。
So the children of God usually grow up by serving God.
然后能够和神的关系就更加的亲密。
And hence their relationship with God is consolidated.
对神的认识也能够提升。
And we may deepen our understanding of God.
那么最后的四节呢，十二到十五节，我们会看到这几项。
So from verse 12 through 15, we can see these points.
领袖百姓顺服神重建圣殿。
The leaders and the people all obeyed God to rebuild the temple.
神与他们同在。
And God was with them.
王国的以色列人在信仰上得到了复兴。
So the Jews of the fallen Israel revived spiritually.
那么圣殿重建在四年后就完工了。
And the rebuilding of the temple was finished 4 years later.
那我们来看啊，对我们的意义有几个要点。
So what does this mean to us?
第一个啊，要祈求里面的复兴。
So first, we should pray for our own inner revival.
那么先知哈该在宣讲神的话之后呢，经文有说神激动百姓的心，他们就都来为神的殿做工。
So after Haggai claimed the word of God, the God stirred up the spirit of his people.
那么他们从里面被复兴了。
So first, they were revived inside.
那么所以信徒参与建造神的家，也需要有圣灵的工作的激励。
So in the same sense, the believers need to be to have this inner revival first to serve and help build God's home.
里面先被复兴，就会积极服侍神的家。
And the inner revival will naturally result in service.
因为我们的一些属灵的观念啊，会一些属灵复兴会帮助我们把一些观念调整。
Because the inner revival will help us adjust our mindset.
我们会看到神的家也是我们共同的家。
And we will see that the home of God is also the home of us all.
我们不需要有什么特别的事情才回自己的家，对吧？
You don't need, you don't just go home for a special purpose.
我们要去别人的家是因为有事。
Really, you go to others' home for a special purpose.
去自己家就是回家嘛，不需要有事。
We go home because we go home.
来教会就是回自己的家嘛。
You come to the church because it's your home.
应该是很自然的，不需要有什么事才来，对吧？
It's a natural thing. You don't need to come for a special thing.
然后呢，第二个呢，就是恩典包括赐福和管教。
Secondly, God's grace include blessing and discipline at the same time.
神领受了神恩典之后呢，生活稳定却怠慢神的工作呢，如果受到了管教，其实也是恩典。
So it is also by God's grace to be disciplined if we neglect our service to God after achieving a good living condition.
神管教是希望人回转，才能留在神的恩典中。
So the purpose of God's discipline is to make us repent to Him and thus remain in His grace.
真正可悲的是神不管教，任凭人离开他。
And the true tragedy is to let someone alone without any discipline.
那我们尽心尽力服侍，得福呢也是恩典，并不是配得的。
And it is also God's grace, not our entitlement, if we are devoted to work and to receive God, blessings from God.
那么神赐的福也不一定是今生的属世的。
And God's blessing does not necessarily means rewards in this life.
所以我们不要期望啊，如果我们为神摆上什么，就会得到世上的回报，而且还可能加倍。
So do not expect to be repaid twice as much in this life if you offer something to God.
就是说，如果上做生意奉献金钱啊，生意就会兴隆。
So if you do business, do not expect your business will thrive because you offer money.
如果我为神奉献了一栋房子，那神就会还我两栋。
Don't expect to get repaid with two houses if you offer one house.
那不是在侍奉神。
In that sense, you're not serving God.
那是在跟神做生意。
You're making deals with God.
神也会提醒我们自己有限。
God is, will also remind us how finite we are.
必须要依靠神。
And we must rely on God.
因为生活中间会遇到各种奇怪的事情。
Because all kinds of things may occur in our lives.
你想不到的所有无妄之灾。
Disasters may happen without an explanation.
就是有没有听过躺着也中枪？
We may become an innocent bystander caught in the crossfire.
明枪易躲，暗箭难防啊。
And it is easy to dodge a spear in open, but hard to guard against an arrow.
我有几年前，我突然就收到了这个县政府，就是 county 的一来了一封信。
A few years ago, I received a letter from the county.
说你的房子有人摆了一个叫做留置权，就是 lien。
Someone placed a lien on your house.
那什么意思呢？就是说，显然是你欠了人的钱，跟这个房子有关的。
It meant that I owed money because of the house.
多半就是因为你，比如说找人来做工，后来没给钱，人家就去把你的房子摆一个 lien。
And they really put this lien on a house if you owe money to your workers.
那平常没什么事，但是就是你就不能卖房子了。
It doesn't really affect you unless you want to sell your house.
我里面要买房子，但是呢，这个问题也很奇怪啊，怎么莫名其妙呢？来了这个东西。
Well, I did not intend to sell my house, but it was kind of ridiculous.
然后我就去打听了一下，才发现呢，的确是有一个什么一个 construction 的一个公司，一个建筑公司呢他是他摆的。
And later I found out it was placed by a construction company. But I never dealt with this construction company. And after inquiring about the issue,
几个月前,
I found out that a few months ago,
那在我们家对面的那个走道，人行的 sidewalk,
the sidewalk in front of my house,
需要修补。
Needed to be repaired. So the construction company came to.
那么在我们对面是没有住家的。
And no one lived across the street.
所以呢，这个 city， 是吧？就是市政府找人来做的。
So the city called this company to do the work.
他们就告诉这个公司说，是在这个地址的对面。
And they told the company that told them to build the house across the street.
They repaired to pave the sidewalk.
Okay.
一个小工程，但是不知道为什么这个 city 一直拖着没付钱。
But I don't understand why the city didn't pay the company.
然后呢，他们就根据那个 city 给的那个地址，就把我的房子摆了个 lien 上去。
So they placed a lien on my house according to the address provided by the city.
谁叫你住在这个地方的对面？
So it was my fault to live across the street.
这边有没有地址，对吧？这就叫做躺着也中枪了。
So this is an example of being an innocent bystander.
然后呢，变得我来得处理这个问题。
So I had to deal with all this.
跑去找 city， 然后呢，终于他们付了钱，把这个东西拿掉了。
So I ran between them for the city to pay the company.
所以我们不要以为一切都很平顺，你有些时候有些事情是不知不觉的在发生。如果没有神给我们的恩典的话呢，假设说是你当时给我的信没有寄到，那我真的是不知道。
So something might just happen without an explanation. These things happen just like if the city didn't send me a letter, I would never have found out the lien in my house.
所以我们是需要依靠神。
So we always need to rely on God.
那么我们要以感恩服侍神。
And we also should serve God with thanksgiving.
神没有说服侍神你就必须要不顾自己的事才算是重视神的事。
God never said that you need to serve him without taking care of your own life at all.
这里告诉我们是不应该神的恩典照单全收，但是对神的事却是敷衍怠慢。
But we should know that we should not take his grace all for granted and neglect the work of God.
神乐意看到我们因着他的恩典建造自己。
God is happy to see us building our own houses and by His grace so that we can serve Him better. God will be even happier to know that we are motivated out of gratitude to actively build up the church, which is the home of God.
我们中间大部分的人呢，当初大概就只带了几个行李箱。还有有限的钱来到美国。
Many of you might have arrived in the United States just with a couple of luggages and a little cash.
那么，如今我们能够在这个地方定居啊，我相信我们所拥有的大概远远的超过那个有天花板的房屋嘛。
And now you are settled down, I believe most of you have more than paneled houses.
但是我们回想一下,
but let's reflect on this.
我们中间呢,一定也有人走过,来的路啊,在今天实在是很难想象的。
Some of you should have experienced something unimaginable.
在 YouTube 上呢,就有很多讲到文革时期知青下乡的故事。
So in YouTube, we saw many stories of the during the Cultural Revolution that the so-called educated youth were sent to the countryside.
但是对于我们中间很年轻人来讲的话呢，是天方夜谭。
Oh, well, it might be a fairy tale for the youngsters here.
有一对知青啊情侣呢，他们先后回到上海之后失去联络了。
So there was this two young lovers, who were educated youth sent to the countryside.
经过了很多波折，多年之后终于走到了一块。
They lost touch after returning to Shanghai, but after a lot of vicissitudes, they ended up together.
女方说，当年虽然男方对她是殷勤照顾。
And the lady confessed that the man was very caring to him.
但是后来打动她的是什么呢？
But what touched her the most?
在我们今天想都想不到。
You cannot imagine that.
就是有一天，男方。男的暗地里把一颗大白兔奶糖塞在他的手里。
This one day the man put a white rabbit candy in her hands secretly.
大概只有某个年龄以上的人才会体会。
Only maybe a few of you can have the same experience.
你今天就是一大箱子的奶糖能够打动哪个女孩？
It cannot touch any girl with even a big box of red, white habit candies.
房子要看到底是豪宅还是普通房子了。
And she will still see if your house is luxurious or very poor.
那一颗大白兔奶糖能够有那么大的魔力，足见当时他们下乡的生活有多么的艰苦。
So one candy can be so touching, and thus we can see their circumstances when they were sent to the countryside.
30 years ago, 我们中间有谁能想象今天会有这样的生活？
Three or four decades ago, who could imagine that we can enjoy such a life today?
曾经在下乡过的人能想到今天是过这样在这里过的日子吗？
Those who were sent to the countryside could ever imagine their life, their comfortable life here?
所以将来在神永恒的家中到底有多美好，也不是我们今天能想象。
Our lives in God's eternal house will also be too wonderful to imagine.
到那个时候，我们会庆幸自己呢，今天能够因着感恩得到复兴，能够参与神的服事。
And at that time, we may feel lucky to have taken part in reviving ourselves and our church today out of gratitude.
我们一起祷告。
Let's pray.Jesus, we give you all the thanks. It is your grace that reminds us constantly. Through the word of the prophets. So that we can see that you are such a loving father. And you are so gracious. And even to call us to serve you, you give us grace first. And you often remind us that we can only rely on you and you're our only rock. May the Holy Spirit remind us to have a thanksgiving heart, to actively serve you.And to wait for your return. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.